Hello, and welcome to True Romance. This is Carolina Barlow, and I'm joined by my dear friend.
Me, Devin.
Devin Leary. Today is exciting, and that is because it's a glorious day, and that's because Devin's mother, Anne Leary, noted memoirist, novelist times three. That means when you say novelist times one, that means they've only written one novel. And when you say novelist times two, this is literary term.
Wait, is it times three or times four?
Well, I've just finished my fourth. It'll be coming out next May. So, but you wouldn't know. It's not out. I mean, you couldn't.
You've heard it first, though.
That's right.
One of Anne's novels is going to become a major motion picture with actors that everyone's heard of. So that's really exciting. And Devin and I were considered to be a part of the movie, and you know, life's hard. Things don't work out all the time. And so we're just going to stick to podcasting.
Listen, though, I was included in an adaptation of one of my mom's works.
Or were you?
I'm laughing because I just remembered.
So my mom's essay was adapted for the Amazon series Modern Love. It was an essay for New York Times Modern Love called Rallying to Keep the Game Alive.
It's the Modern Love column, the New York Times.
And not to toot your horn too much, Anne, but it was the one with the flashiest actors, namely John Slattery and Tina Fey, and, you know, their two children who were supposed to be modeled after Devin and her brother Jack now.
Right.
But
so
I just say that I only wrote an essay. I had nothing to do with writing the script for the show. And the show is supposed to be loosely based on the essay. I'll just say that.
And these views do not represent the views of Amazon or John Slattery or Tina Fey.
Right. And they and
Jeffrey Bezos.
Yeah. And so I also didn't see it until I saw it with my children. Okay, go ahead.
And the essay is called Rallying to Keep the Game Alive, right?
Right.
It's Which like is a, so good.
It's really good. I know I'm biased, but I still think it's really good.
No, it's amazing. It's so cool that your mom wrote this. I mean, and Anne, I'm speaking to Devin directly about you, but that your mom wrote this incredible essay that's real about marriage. And I've quoted it so many times.
The point of this whole story about modern love is I turn on the show to watch it. I'm like, okay, no big deal, but my life story will be reflected here on Amazon Prime. And not a lot of people get that opportunity. And I see there's my dad. They use his real name. Interesting. I see there's my mom, Tina Fey. She's stunningly beautiful. They use a different name for my mom, which I'm like, what was wrong with Anne? But okay. My brother is
Jack. They use Jack.
They use Jack, yes. Jack
but they gave Devin a different name. She was just like the least interesting person in the
She
family.
Was just like annoying. Like her one line was Jack was leaving. Jack's storyline is that he's like, I'm an actor. And I'm like,
yeah, Jack got the whole storyline.
My character's storyline is nothing besides like watching TV with my mom. True to life. That's
Ripped from the headlines.
Saying when my brother was leaving for college, saying, I'm going to use your PlayStation while you're gone.
Is that what, I can't remember. Whatever. Devin, you're the golden child. You're both the golden children in different ways.
You do fall asleep at dinner too, which actually I do think is true to life.
I'm just going to say I'm happy because I feel like people don't understand you until they know your trauma. And now my childhood trauma of my parents fighting on a tennis court on a resort vacation is seen. If people know she's been through something.
Right.
Her parents argued on a tennis court.
They're like, where does Devin get her grit? And I'm like, let me tell you a story and don't tell her that I told you because I don't know if she's ready to talk about it. But she was at a resort vacation once.
Everyone understands tennis trauma.
Yes. Oh, tennis trauma is real. And by the way, I realized something when I was really 21. I realized that my parents couldn't make me do things anymore. And my dad sometimes would say, come play tennis with me. And I realized I could say, no, I'm never going to play tennis again ever in my life. And I could mean that. And that was like a powerful feminist moment. I want to ask you, Anne, when did you meet Devin's dad? And when did you think, oh, I think I'm going to marry this person?
I met him in 1982.
I had just transferred from Bennington College to Emerson College in Boston, and he was teaching, he had just graduated, was teaching this, I was a writing major, and he was teaching a comedy writing like workshop, and somebody told me I should take it, and I took it. I met him. I thought he was a student because he was 25 and I was 20, and he's, you know, that Irish fair skin. He looked like he was 14. No, he looked like he was 20. Anyway, so we met, and we, it was a really fun class. And then when the class was over, after that semester, we went out and one night, like on a date, and then like he stayed over and he still hasn't left. Like he never left. He didn't, it turned out he had no place to live. I didn't know that at the time. He was just staying at people's apartments. And so he still won't go home.
Oh my gosh.
It's been 30 something years.
We've got to figure out something to do about that.
I know, but it all worked out in the end.
Okay, and what was your first kiss? It sounds like it was the first date.
Come on.
I'm sorry.
I don't know. In those days, you did.
They don't kiss.
Things moved more quickly.
Oh, okay. And when did he, how did he propose?
We had been living together for several years when he asked me to marry him. And then, you know, we eventually married. I wanted to have kids, so. We got married and then had kids.
Oh, and you're the cutest kid in the world.
Yeah, well, we had them.
That's me.
I should say we both wanted to have kids, so.
We have them. That's good to know. well, I'm glad you guys did that.
Yeah.
We're all glad. The true romance community is in great debt.
What's your favorite piece of relationship advice?
Oh, yeah.
It's really important to be with someone who has a sense of humor and can laugh at themselves, I guess.
That is really good advice.
Yeah. And then also, I think that's the best advice. Like,
I think that's perfect advice. That helps me.
Yeah.
I always end up with guys who think that they're like, who can't like take a hit, which is so weird because I like shit on myself all the time.
Especially often even guys that are funny, they are very thin skinned. And that really bothers me.
Almost more so than anyone.
They can dish it up, but they can't take it. And you need them to be able to laugh really hard at themselves.
You know, I am, first of all, going to take this moment to shout out my new friend, Kendra, who listens to our podcast, and I think she's a creative genius. So I was honored when she said she liked our podcast. But one of the things she said she liked about it was that Carolina and I have a banter where we make fun of each other. And I said, yes.
Feels pretty one-sided sometimes.
It does go too far sometimes.
In what way? Are you making fun of my daughter, Carolina? Because I'm going to have to call your mother.
No, I'm saying one-sided. Your daughter has tormented me.
Your daughter is ruining my life.
I'm going to call your mother and say you're bullying
9 years ago, I almost left your lake house. My trauma was that I was staying at a beautiful lake house in upstate New York.
Wait, people are getting the idea that we are fancy and we're not.
You're not.
We're trash.
You're scrappy.
We're scrappy.
Okay, so wait, what happened? Did she kick you out?
No, she was being so mean. So cruel.
What did I say?
You were?
No, what? No, they were just they were doing that thing where they were being so mean to me as a joke, but then it started feeling real. And then I think they forgot they were joking.
It sounds like a horror movie. It's like Get Out, but it was in a like really white community.
Yeah.
But it became like you didn't know what was real and what wasn't.
Exactly.
Except for the fact that Devin said literally get out.
She said, yeah, get out. I took a picture and the flash made Devin's eyes open up. And finally I saw the truth that my friend was stuck. Speaking of Get Out, we are actually going to discuss today with Anne the pilot, the genesis of the 90 Day Fiancé franchise, which has just held the nation.
Yes, it has gripped us.
But before we get to a commercial, we need to do our highbrow, midbrow, lowbrow segment.
Yes.
Okay, so who goes first?
I'm almost prepared. I'm almost completely prepared.
All right.
Let's start with highbrow. Would be The Wreckage of My Presence, a book of essays by Casey Wilson. it feels slightly sacrilege to recommend another writer while you're on the pod. So yes. I really hope that you understand that I simply was asked to do the highbrow, midbrow, lowbrow segment. And I was sitting next to Casey Wilson's book and I thought, oh shit, I wasn't prepared. And I will plug Casey Wilson's book and say it's great. She is a lot like me. She does too much of everything. I am so sick of my ever consuming brain, but she has gotten me hooked on Real Housewives of New York season 1 to 3.
She's from Bitch Sesh.
No, I know who she is because I actually have listened to her podcast many times and think she's hilarious.
We love her.
She is a bright, bright star. And I'm sorry to drop this name drop, but I've met her and she's as kind as they come.
Wow.
And as funny and as kind as we want her to be. My midbrow is my antipsychotics. So okay. Antidepressants, anti-medic, whatever, there's a lot of stigma around them. And I really think that when I tell people that I'm on antipsychotics, they might be like, what? That's crazy. And it's not normal that I'm on them. But
it sounds antipsychotic. It sounds psychotic.
But it's actually healthy. Yeah, it's antipsychotic.
It's the opposite of psychotic.
Exactly.
Yeah, when they say that sounds crazy, you should say, no, it's antipsychotic.
It's antipsychotic. And that's my new shirt that I'm going to get, antipsychotic.
That's actually
and on the back, it says, don't worry, I took them.
Okay. Carol, is this merch? Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
So I'm just like, I think about it all the time. I, you know, when you used to forget to take your meds, like, oh, I haven't taken my Prozac in like 2 days. Oh no. I do not forget to take these meds because they help so much because my PTSD ravaged brain is already weak enough as it is. Like when I hear a garbage truck, like break too suddenly, like visions of horror descend upon me. Okay. So, yeah, I'm very pro getting medication if you need it. There's nothing anti-religious or anti-spiritual or weak about it. And I think a lot of people would benefit from it, as my good friend Chelsea Handler says.
Is that your friend? Because you just said you've Casey so many was friends. Your friend.
I know she's yours. I know she's your friend. Weird name drop for Devin. Chelsea Handler's dog's account posted a picture of Devin.
Yeah.
What?
I met Chelsea Handler's dog and I asked for a photo.
Naturally.
Rest in paradise. The dog was Chunk. He has passed. I asked for a photo with him. Chunk's official Twitter account, rest in paradise as well, tweeted the photo of me.
Nice.
The best part is that this is the second time that Devin hasn't asked for pictures of the famous person, but has asked for pictures of their dog.
Yes.
And the second time would be when she came to Will Ferrell's house, met him, his son, and his dogs, and then texted me weeks later saying, can you send me a picture of their dog?
Because they had a really cute sheepdog.
Okay, sheepdog Devin, Cosmo.
Devin actually spent a day with Billie Jean King and did a video with Billie Jean King. And I can't, and actually, would if there was a picture of Billie Jean King's dog, that would be the one she'd post on Instagram.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's my Dev. That's the way I brought her up.
Oh.
The way I brung her. The way I brung her up.
My lowbrow. I really want to speak to grape nuts right now in the grape nuts community. I have been eating grape nuts as a snack. I just want to say this about them. They are nothing. They're cardboard. They're literally just, there's no flavor to them. And I love it. And it sort of just feels like a trough. Like when you see animal food and you think, what is that even? It's a slush. That's how I feel when I'm eating grape nuts. And I just happen to really like it.
I didn't know they still existed, so this is really helpful.
They're so great. And as someone who has, like, I wouldn't call my eating disordered anymore, but I would say that I have some weird habits from
it's
years
not ordered.
Of... Yeah. It's not, it certainly isn't ordered. I have some fixations, and so randomly I'll get hooked on something. And grape nuts just make me feel very satiated but not triggered. And so for any of my previously locked up friends, when I say locked up, I mean locked up in bad girl camp where you have to count while you're peeing because they want to make sure you're not throwing up. This is for you. Devin, Ann, who wants to start with their highbrow?
Ann, you go.
Okay, but I didn't understand. So I thought it was supposed to be like entertainment or like a book.
Yeah,
or,
I mean, like, mine yeah. are anti, mine are
Caroline
psychotic.
Did it wrong.
Okay. So I decided...
because I'm very obsessed, especially this summer, but I have been all my life, but quite this summer, very obsessed with crime, specifically murder, true crime and murders. And so I would recommend, if you like, if you are like me and enjoy reading about true crimes that are exceptionally evil, a highbrow book might be In Cold Blood by Truman Capote.
So good.
Maybe, I was going to say mid-brow might be that Norman Mailer book called The Executioner's Song, but maybe that's also...
That's highbrow.
Is that highbrow?
That's, this is so highbrow.
Okay.
A book is highbrow in art.
Oh. For right. us. A lowbrow, but actually quite exciting to me, is any YouTube channel devoted to Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell. I watch one called Hidden True Crime Podcast, but basically anyone that's of any YouTube video or like channel. There's many channels about this Mormon couple that murdered their children, and I'm quite obsessed. So Lori Vallow, Chad Daybell, YouTube video channels. There you go.
My mom has analyzed many of the police footage of this case, right?
Yeah, I watch a lot of it, and I also, I've diagnosed every Real Housewife's mental.
What do you think Kelly Bensimon has?
Oh, she has like borderline personality disorder, but I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm just saying, like, come on. And maybe bipolar. I don't know. Wait, stop. I don't know. I take that back. What if she sues me? She's normal.
She doesn't she's normal. Understand how
she's
to
like
use
us.
A podcast.
She's like us. She's a good person.
She's awful.
She's awesome. An amazing mom. She's awesome. An amazing awful. Chair. She's very active in charity.
But I have a full-size horse statue.
That's too highbrow for the housewives. I mean, come on.
Wait, so I had another question about Chad Daybell, Lori Vallow.
Go ahead. I have the answers at my fingertips.
Okay, so in a sentence, could you summarize your theory of what happened?
You know, I can't. So that's why I think I and
high order.
That's why I and many, 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 probably thousands of others are obsessed with this case. It's just truly inexplicable. It's very hard to understand, and that's why I'm obsessed with it. And you can Google it. But it did involve a cult. It involved a LDS cult. It wasn't the strict Mormons. They were like an offshoot of crazy Mormons, and they were doomsday preppers. But it was just this. It's just too much. It's like these two people did this crazy thing, and it's just, I guess, because I can't understand it. I keep trying to. Everyone does. So anyway.
Speaking of Mormons, there's a whole, Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, there's a Barlow there. They're one of the housewives is.
Right.
Yeah.
Which one's Barlow?
I don't know, but weren't you texting me saying like any relation to Barlow from Real Housewives? Wait.
Maybe.
There's a Mormon on one of the Housewives franchise.
Well, the Salt Lake City franchise, they have multiple Mormons and a lot of discussion about, like, this wouldn't be considered Mormon and this would and whatever.
So Lisa Barlow is a cast member on Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. And people jokingly, Devin asked me, do you have any relation to Lisa Barlow? Now, the funny part is that my ancestors were on the Oregon Trail. And there was maybe an argument, maybe a fight, but all we know was there's a fork in the road. One wagon went to Utah and the other wagon went elsewhere. So there's a lot of Barlows in Utah because Mormons, for being, you know, all innocent, Mormons like to breed. And
they like to breed and they like to kill.
They do too. And so wait. So yeah, you could be maybe you're like
distant cousins.
You're like a distant sister cousin,
but like a sister to her.
Well, or like a sister wife. Sister wife.
She would consider you like a sister. I'm pretty sure.
Totally. But anyway, okay. I haven't seen that show, but I'm sure it's very.
All right, Devin. Highbrow.
Well, all I can say is that one night last summer that I was hoping to have a nice dinner, spend time with my mom. She said she couldn't because she had to tune into a live stream about the
Lori Daybell. Lori
Chester Bell. Case. Yeah, it was like the sister-in-law of one of the dead people. They didn't just kill children; they killed adults, and it was the sister of one of the dead people. I was like, I've got to. Wow. Devin. I was like, I can't have dinner with my family.
You'll understand when I tell you this.
I did understand. I did. All right, my highbrow recommendation is going to need a trigger warning and a content warning because it's very scary and I don't want people to think
after Murder by Mormons when we're
that's nothing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead.
I'm gonna point everyone's attention to a little YouTube video. The title is "Don't Watch This If You're Afraid of Ghosts or Swings That Kill." Again, don't watch this if you're afraid of ghosts or swings that kill.
And I think you could provide a link in
this. I will give a link for those who may have trouble finding it. I mean, 4,693 people seem to have found it and viewed it. What I'm talking about.
This is your highbrow?
This is the highbrow.
It's a film. It's a short film.
It's a short film. It's an independent film. And you know what? Bo Burnham, step aside. Because this was filmed and acted in and written by and edited by one Ann Leary.
I scored it as well.
She scored it. She did everything. This is a mother of two children. She takes time out of her day to go into a field on a stranger's property and film herself.
A masterpiece. It's a minor masterpiece.
A masterpiece featuring herself as a portraying, if I'm not wrong, a ghost of
a little girl.
Of a little girl, yes.
Okay, don't give the whole thing away.
Okay.
It's not.
Yeah, some of us haven't seen it yet.
Spoiler alert.
I just want to say that. As my mom pointed out, 12 people disliked the video. There's a dislike feature on YouTube, and it was used
12 people liked it and 12 disliked it. Now, how like in 12? I mean, it's got to mean something. It's like a real 12. It's like a really.
I also want to point out the description of the video is also written by Ann Leary. Quote: "Horrifying video captures ghost of girl swinging on swing." All caps, that killed her.
Can I just say, this is Carolina, can I just say that I posted this first and I just said something like ghost video because I've seen every ghost video I've ever seen on YouTube, there's 5 million views. I posted it and nobody watched it. So I changed it to another title and still nobody watched it. So finally I changed it to, in all caps, "Don't watch this if you're afraid of ghosts or swings that kill." And still, there's only 4,600 views, and I don't understand how you get viral if you don't. I've seen ghost videos that are so lame, and this one is scary. It's got everything. And Devin knows, like, I have a really hard time even admitting that I've written a book, let alone praising my books, but I'm proud of
this.
She's
not that way about her videos.
This is a work the world needs just to see. No.
She is so humble about her books and her like major motion picture adaptation of her book. But if I ever say like, "Oh mom, I liked your video of Eddie, like the dogs running around," she'll be like, "Oh Devin, why can't I go viral?"
Like, it's true. I cry. I'm like, why am I not viral? I'm not viral with my, and it's like, I don't care. I was a New York Times bestselling author, but I want to be viral on YouTube.
My favorite Ann Leary, obviously procrastinating from writing a piece, though, was you dressing up your dogs as like
colonial
pin-up movie stars.
Yeah. I know that I used to do that for Halloween. They would be. Oh no, that was
You dressed up.
And there's there's one of Holly, and she's like,
and she's drunk,
lying in a pink chemise on the bed.
Yeah,
with a Grey Goose bottle. Yeah.
Didn't we do a whole thing about the you and your cousins did a series of photos and it had to do with like the OC?
No, that was me and Ellen in middle school. We made an adaptation. Speaking of adaptations left and right, We adapted the OC with my dogs.
And they were always drunk.
They were drunk.
So there was like pictures of them passed out with a bottle next to them and like semi-clothed.
Yeah.
Okay. Throwing up.
Let me move on to my midbrow. Although I do want to give a shout out to Julie Clam, who commented on this video. This was so chilling and moving. It reminded me of the story of the little girl I knew who was swinging on a swing and then she died. Wait. And then her ghost remained swinging and really sweeping music would play. Sad.
Who wrote this? Who commented that?
Okay, my best friend. But still, Julia Clam is one of my best friends. But still, she probably didn't even know I made the film.
She didn't. She found it on her own.
She found it.
Okay.
All right.
My mid-brow recommendation is a YouTube video titled Ghost Girl Outtakes by One Ann Leary.
It was the making of Ghost Girl. The world needed to know. The world had so many questions about how it was made. So
the description is the description of the video is okay, wait. The description of the video is by popular demand, a behind
the scenes two
look.
Views. There are two views on this.
A behind-the-scenes look at how Ghost Girl on Swing was made. For more information, www.anleary.com.
I used to have a blog, and I wanted people... I thought this would draw people to my blog.
You're like, oh, time for a plug.
That also nobody read.
Okay, I have to say, I think your branding problem is the three different titles, because one video is called... like
No, I told you, the Ghost Girl... It was called Ghost Girl on Swing, and nobody viewed it, and then I changed it to the long one about... And still,
but now this says Ghost Girl Outtakes. The description says Ghost Girl on Swing.
It's story of my life. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to do stuff.
Okay. Well, this Ghost Girl Outtakes is really... It's
listen,
mid-brow.
If you're
it's
listening to this, you want to be part of the cool new thing.
Yeah.
You've got, like this.
Get on
because
it.
Because it's like everyone's going to be talking about it.
Gen Z, are you listening?
It's like, this is at the water fountain. Is that, do they still have that? No, because no one goes to work. This is what
everyone's going to be talking
on TikTok
about. TikTok
in China will be talking about.
Yes. It will. Oh, they will. And then my lowbrow is another short film by Ann Leary.
This is a beautiful film. I'm sorry. This will make you cry. Like, this is a whole different vibe. That was horror. This is like, this is date night.
You know, this is date night, but it's also a tragedy. It's called, and I quote, Baby's Num Nums. And what it is it's a film of a dog eating yogurt.
Well, someone's feeding him yogurt.
And well, my mom is feeding him the yogurt. My mom provides commentary about the feeding of the num-nums.
Yeah, you're right. This is more like, this is sort of popcorn movie.
It's really like a real like, try not to cry, good luck.
Yeah. Okay. It's sort of like the softy stuff, though. It's not like the gritty.
No, I mean, the other one's true.
Philosophically stirring movies about the girl on the swing.
The girl on the swing. I mean, if you like horror, you don't tune into that. Go watch Baby's Num Nums.
Okay, and I just want to say the only reason why it's lowbrow, in my opinion, is because our dog who's featured in this has passed away, and that's sad, and that's lowbrow to me.
Oh,
sad is lowbrow.
Death of a dog, that's lowbrow, because that's
when I am sad, my brow is low.
Okay. And I want to say, Susan Cochran commented, my 2-year-old granddaughter loves this video. She laughs so hard watching it.
Thank
so
you,
it
Susan.
Also gives comedy.
It's for the kids, too.
It's for everybody. It's a family film, for sure. Take the kids. Bring the kids.
Baby's All right. Num-nums.
We are going to be right back with a recap of the 90 Day Fiancé pilot.
I want true romance.
And we're back with True Romance Pod. Devin, Anne, and I all watched myself for the second time. I'm assuming both of you for the second time, the pilot for 90 Day Fiancé.
Of course. Yes, we've seen it before.
this show, I remember I was watching it with a boyfriend once because we, because Devin had recommended it so highly. And we were like, it's a little sad at times.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of an echo of Western colonialism, but as a dating show. And when I'm speaking of that, I'm speaking of, you know, specifically of one of the couples. But
yes,
for a recap for people who don't watch it, it's three couples. All of them are there. Usually the female is there in the U.S. from Russia or Colombia, and she has a visa, but she needs to get married within 90 days of being in the United States. So a lot of these couples have met under suspicious circumstances.
Yes.
We have one. I think the brilliance of the pilot is that you have Paula and Chris in it. Or Kristen. Russ. Or Paula and you is that you have Paula and Russ in it, who do seem really, really happy and in love. And they're both like conventionally attractive. So it gives you this idea that this sometimes really works out.
Okay. Right out of the gate, we couldn't have views that are farther apart from each other.
Why? You don't like Russ and Paula? Listen, I looked at Paula on Instagram and I was dismayed to see that she is now a pro wrestler and still very in love with Russ. But, you know, let's be honest, Russ and his whole family look like they stormed the Capitol. Like there's darkness.
Carolina.
There.
They stormed the castle? The Capitol?
No.
This castle.
They look like they did, though.
That's another movie I did.
They stampeded on the castle. No. First of all, Carolina, what is written in my notes? Russ stormed the Capitol.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Really?
You and I.
Did he really?
No, it's just like a thing you say about someone who looks Republican is like they stormed the Capitol. That's all.
Okay. I'm sorry to interrupt Devin because this is your podcast, but I've only ever seen later episodes of this series. This is the first time I saw this first season, the first show, and these were the best people I've ever seen. It just went downhill after this. Like, these are the best. It later became. America was sending its worst, like, psychopaths
criminals
to third world countries, and where they would meet very well educated but poor people and then drag them here to Tampa. Hell.
Well, that's what Alan, so one of the couples is Alan the Mormon, and he's really, I mean, he is exactly how he sounds. He says, my name is Alan, I'm from Los Angeles, and I happen to be Mormon. He keeps on saying it like that. And yeah, I happen to be Mormon.
Like, he just stumbled upon it.
Killiam, I think that's how you pronounce her name.
She's freaking gorgeous, right?
Killiam.
Is she beautiful? Is she the really beautiful
one? Yes.
Yeah, she's 12. Do we believe she's 21 or not?
Listen, there's a couple of girls here and their ages are dubious.
Don't you
think? Wait, can you say her name again, Devin?
Killiam.
He meets Killiam from Brazil, and he said she looked like an angel because he is a Western colonizer. And he keeps saying, he's like, well, I'm going to go get her. Yeah, I've got to go to Brazil to get her and bring her back.
Well, he also met her on a Mormon
missionary trip.
Yeah, missionary trip. So he knocked on somebody's door to make them to ask them to become Mormon. And an true angel. This is one of the most beautiful, you know. A lot of, it's funny because like so many models come from Brazil and Russia, and so do 90 Day Fiancés. They're all gorgeous. She's beautiful. And are they the ones that don't have running water? And
yeah, he keeps on saying like she's never used a washing machine, a dryer, a dishwasher.
Right.
And it's so funny because I'm like, you're making her sound like you are that weird to me. Like, I don't think it's that weird that she hasn't used a dishwasher or a washing machine is just foreign, but you are the one who I'm like, ew, and he's Mormon, and he keeps on saying stuff like it's your last chance to back out,
right?
And then she always pauses a little too long before she kind of hugs him because she
really
thinks
doesn't want
it's really not that hard washing laundry by hand.
I would rather wash clothes and dishes by hand every single day for 12 years than spend 1 week with Alan in his condo with his weird Mormon friend who sleeps over so Alan won't try to have sex with me.
No, that was Alan.
I'd rather wash my clothes with my tongue.
Alan is such a loser.
Have a conversation with Alan.
And he keeps on being like, we need to be protected from being tempted. And it's like, buddy, I don't think she's tempted.
Honey,
like,
she's not tempted.
All she cares about is Johnny Depp.
He's like getting on his lime green air mattress with one blanket, a throw. He doesn't even own a second pair of sheets. And she's like, oh, okay, bye, good night. And she couldn't be happier to just get on the Wi-Fi and like Google things all night.
Carolyn is the smartest person that's ever been on this show.
These women are heroes.
Well, she knows about the no sex before marriage thing. So she does like, I've got 90 day free pass.
Yes.
Getting in and getting out. Even though they're still married, they have a baby.
Well,
that's the things we do.
I will say, Carolyn did also prove to me that being basic does not subscribe to a culture or a nationality because Kiralim, coming from Brazil, did pose with Marilyn Monroe's Hollywood star, which is something that every basic American girl has done.
But foreigners are allowed to do that. That's like us going to Paris and like taking a picture.
Right. It's criminal for an American to really think that is something worth doing. But I guess if you're not from here.
But Alan brought her there. So
yes.
I don't blame her.
Okay. Well, I blame Alan for allowing her to... He's standing
and
there
saying...
And
she's also 14 years old. So she gets
asked. Both her and Aziza look 13.
They're not 21. I'm sorry.
I blame Alan for allowing his child bride to try on the hat of a Johnny Depp impersonator, which obviously has lice in it. There's no way it doesn't have lice in it. And he like watches her try it on and he's talking about how he's concerned that someone will stop her on the street and say, you need to be in a commercial because you're so beautiful. And I was like, you're concerned about that, but you're not concerned about head lice or bed bugs?
Only Devin. That thought didn't cross my mind, but I did think.
The head lice didn't cross my mind, but I don't have as many instinctual fears as Devin does. And in retrospect, that would definitely.
Yeah.
I had an unfortunate experience on a set recently where this props guy brought a bunch of vintage trucker hats dad had given him. And we were all like, oh, cool, try them on. Dorky taking pictures with them. People come and being like, take this one, Carolina, take this. No, I'm good. I have too much shit at home. I'm not going to take random stuff. My friend is like, I'm taking this one. It's like a vintage Seagram's hat. She's wearing it for a while. Then she takes it off and she goes, oh, no. And inside,
no,
it's orange from sweat. It's stained orange from whoever wore it. Like for
from
50
like
years.
From like sweaty spray tan,
yeah,
like orange.
No, from just like
it was
like
Trump's hat. She had
sweat.
Trump's hat.
She had Trump's
and
hat.
And inside were the pee
it
tapes.
It was orange. It was Trump.
The tax receipts were inside. That's where they were all along.
Sorry for that disclaimer, but yes, I mean she is kind of a basic girl because she's 15. Like
she's very young. She should have like run for her life and like.
Well, she now has her own YouTube channel where she reviews products and vlogs her vacations and day-to-day life. So now she's actually 17.
Okay, tell me if she has more YouTube followers than me, I don't know what to say. I mean,
she could never make Ghost Girl outtakes.
I mean,
she could never.
Oh, well.
There's also Mike and Aziza, which is, yes. I want to say, like, either the darkest part of this pilot episodes, or if we're really going to suspend disbelief, maybe they do have like an emotional connection because they do make each other laugh sometimes.
Are they the Oklahoma couple?
No, that's Russ.
Oh, okay.
Mike is the overweight, no shame, overweight.
Oh, he's the IT guy.
Yeah.
From the courthouse and his coworker Dory and is like, hey, Mike, I'm going to need those in a few hours. So what are you doing?
Right.
And you know, she like, thought I'm like, going to go pick up my bride in New York. And then later to camera, Doreen's like, I think it's crazy.
Well, Dorina also said, why can't they meet anyone in the U.S.? Like, as if that's easy. And I wanted to say, Dorina, you clearly haven't been in these streets because it's not that easy.
Well, she works with him and she doesn't want to date him. And
right.
He doesn't seem to get out much. So
that's what I was going to say is that I do sympathize with Mike a little bit.
Yes.
Like when he was talking, I found myself nodding. Like he was like, well, I don't really know anyone I could date here at work. And I actually don't really go out to bars.
Yeah.
And I was like, uh-huh. But when he said he met her because he was trying to learn Russian on a.
That was not true.
You know, like we all lie and that was a lie.
Yeah.
I mean, later, I think it got darker in the other episodes because she saw that people were literally, they openly admitted, like, I went on, like, Thailandbrides.com and met her.
So nuts.
But this time, but the thing that still kills me is every single one of these brides, they speak perfect English, yes. Where most Americans barely speak English, their own language at all.
These
women are all at least bilingual. The Russian probably speaks many languages. Okay, can I ask another question? I wondered this last night. Why do so many of the men in 90 Day Fiancés live with their families and they're in their 30s and 40s?
Yes.
Because that's often...
Well, listen, we're not, like, maybe we shouldn't be the ones to judge.
Some of us on this Zoom...
Why do so many women live on their daughter's balcony like I do?
I'm just saying we're all holding a stone and this is a glass house.
Okay.
But...
Carolina lives with her mom.
Both Devin and I have found refuge in our parents' house. But, yeah, yes. But it's weird how the guys do, but their moms still hold, like, a claw in their lives over women, which I think is always really weird.
But before, seasons before COVID, there were men who lived with their family, their parents, and then the bride would come and have to live with them. It just seems, I didn't know that was so prevalent in our culture that people did that.
I know. I think it must be. Well, the housing crisis didn't do anyone any good. That's my college essay.
Carolina, you're right. Who are we to judge? I want true
romance. Now that we've said who are we to judge, I'm going to talk a little bit about Russ's aesthetic, both home and fashion. So let's, for the record, remember that Carolina has called this man attractive at the top of the episode.
Okay, wait, I'm confused. Alan or Russ? Russ or Alan?
Okay, we've already talked about Alan. That's the Mormon.
Okay, Alan the Mormon. Okay.
Russ is the Oklahoma man.
Okay, and he looks like he's got guns. He was an Eagle Scout. He's got...
Yes, yeah, he's got a faux hawk.
Yeah, he looks a little...
Listen,
he's wearing Carolina.
Considering the company they're in...
Okay.
He's a militia member. But go ahead.
He's wearing an orange scoop neck Henley, cargo shorts, and a faux hawk. And Carolina saw that and said, attractive guy.
I said, if I have to choose between these guys, then yes, will you accept this rose?
Yes.
I mean, okay. I also just think they are truly in love. Do I think they're good people based off their Instagram? Or recently she called out... she called out liberals for canceling Dr. Seuss.
Wait, so Russ, the one who lives in Tulsa, and he was also the only one I believe was not a virgin before this show.
Yeah.
The Mormon guy admitted he was.
All over the place.
And then the other guy, the tech guy, there was just no way he had sex. He didn't know what to do. And the little girl he brought here, age 14, she seemed to know more. And what? She was like, oh, okay, so we're just not going to lie here? And he was like, I think that's best because I don't know what the hell to do. And she said, okay.
Okay,
I'm only 14, works for me. And they kept saying,
I don't understand why people say the show is dark. I think it's a fun romp. I think it's a romp. It's a nice decompressor after a long day.
There's something specific about, to jump around to the couple we were speaking of earlier, Aviva. And
Aziza.
I'm sorry.
You're thinking of Real Housewives of New York.
Yeah. Speaking of the couple we were speaking before, Aziza and Mike, they specifically give me a feeling of melancholy looking at them. They're both so soft-spoken.
Yes.
He's the court tech guy, and she's another one of the girls who looks 15. What's funny is in later episodes, she's like, I get very jealous. Like, she gets super jealous of him.
Yeah. I think... just like being basic isn't like specific to a nationality, I think that jealousy is not specific to actually being in love with the person. Like if you're a jealous person, you just get jealous. And
yes,
I've seen this in other 90 Day Fiancé couples where I'm like, you're the jealous one? Like Mike and Natalie?
It's Stockholm Syndrome. So you can be human trafficked and jealous of your human trafficker.
I think it's also just in relationships when you're like emotionally abused at all. And this is me just speaking tangentially to this idea, but I don't think this is what's happening on 90 Day. But I think in some relationships, that is how you keep someone hostage, is you constantly you start to make them feel possessive until they're yes. possessive, but they don't even want the thing that they're possessive over.
Yeah.
But they're just used to being like, no, like, don't flirt with her. Don't flirt with her.
Yeah.
I think that sometimes jealousy can be, your feelings of jealousy can block you from seeing that you're actually not into someone.
Oh, so interesting. You can be, I see.
Basically just like, worried about if someone, or if you're worried about someone cheating on you, like you right. can get consumed with sort of the like, wait, do they like her? Wait, do they really like me or not? And then you have to really just clarify, like, wait, what do I actually really want? Do I really sure. like this person? Or am I just, is my ego like embedded into how they feel about this other girl or whatever?
Right. Like, so metaphorically, the person is looking away. The jealous person is looking at a person who's looking away. So when yes. the person looks at them, they go, oh.
I exactly You're rust. Exactly. Yeah.
So they're looking away, and that you want everyone wants to be the hunter. No one wants to be the hunted. That's
wow.
That's the hunted. A novel by Ann Leary.
The Huntress. And that was little Aziza Huntress, and then he turned around. And she went, oh,
it's never Mike. Mind.
Hashtag it's Mike. Hashtag oh no, it's Mike. Yeah. So I just wanted to point out a couple things, if I may.
You may
about. Russ's home. And I didn't notice this until a second watch. Because the first time I watched, I just saw that obviously there was multiple framed photos of him as an Eagle Scout. And I was like, okay, that's one thing. In Russ's bedroom, there is a framed photo of a still from the animated film Aladdin. Framed. A framed photo of a still from the animated film Jungle Book. Hanging on the wall.
Wow. I didn't notice that.
A framed still from the animated film, The Lion King, hanging on his wall, and an American flag.
Okay, well, Crystal from The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills has many Lion King figurines in her home, and that is because her husband directed right. The Lion King.
But he was Lion King super fan.
Listen, the aesthetics that Paola and Russ exhibit are, I see the love. That's all I see. When they greeted each other at the airport, they had tears in their eyes.
They made out like sweet. 8 times.
They love kissing. They love constantly talk. I do identify with how she talks about sex, though, and that she's not like, she gets a little bit seductressy, but she's also just like, yeah, it's important. Like, we need to get this done.
Yeah.
Yeah. But those two have had a lot of sex in their life.
Yeah.
The other ones, none of... I thought that was one interesting thing. Like, why don't they put that, though? I mean, it's clear. Why don't they just say... Why don't they put it... Like, they put other stuff. Like, she's from Colombia. She's a virgin. Yeah. He's a virgin.
Instead, she's grateful that he's a virgin. Like,
yeah. Yes. But the other people, they're like, oh, these are actually people in their 30s who've had sex before. This is a new thing for this show.
That was the best, was when Alan, the Mormon, like we mentioned before, had his friend sleep over so that he wouldn't get tempted to sleep with
but
his
fiancée. But that's the thing. They do that.
Did like, Lori and Chad Daybell do that?
Well, they didn't have sex before marriage, but yeah, a lot of Mormons. My theory, I don't want to get in trouble with the Mormons. They will kill.
No,
they
no,
will kill.
Go ahead.
The Mormons have stopped listening to our show so long ago.
I think with any religion, anything, a culture really that makes sex taboo is going to end up, someone's going to get killed. Because people need to have sex. And I think the Mormon, they really are not supposed to have premarital sex. So they end up marrying young. And that's like a lot of the murders, like the Jodi Arias murder, was also a Mormon-related murder, and it had to do with a young man who was the victim, who just didn't have a lot of sexual experience. It's I think a lot of it. I think a lot of, people would be alive if there was no life insurance and people could have sex with anyone they want. Nobody would be killed in this world.
I really think that is a good point that I've never thought about. I like, but I also just love, I really want it stitched on a pillow somewhere. Like, if your religion has to do with not having sex, someone's going to get killed.
I'm going to do a needlepoint sampler for you, Carolina.
Yes, please.
If sex is taboo, someone's going to get killed. Die.
And listen, if you guys, listeners out there, wanted a little window into my birds and the bees talk growing up, you just got it.
I did. That was it. That's all she got.
based on all she wrote.
Better have sex or you will kill someone.
Explains a lot, doesn't it?
This was one of my favorite episodes of True Romance, mainly because you guys both make me laugh so hard. And I'm so glad that
I was born.
Devin was born.
I'm glad she was born. I'm glad she found you as a friend. And I'm glad I found this podcast to listen to every Thursday.
Oh, thanks, Mom.
I love it. It's
my favorite. Speaking of listening, as if that was enough, don't just listen. Subscribe, like, rate, yeah. Review.
Share it.
Go to our Twitter. Follow our Twitter at True Romance Pod on Twitter, at True Romance Pod on Instagram, True Romance Podcast on Spotify.
We really want to do this podcast forever. And if you can and you like it, tell people about it, because we love the sound of our voices.
We do.
Thank you so much. Catch you next time on True Romance.
Bye, Carolina.
Bye, Anne.
Bye, everyone.
All I ever wanted was a little love. I want true.